Hello and welcome to this IBR Extra, a podcast from the Iowa Business Report. I'm Jeff Stein. In the 35th edition of our program, which aired during the last weekend of August 2020, we examined the economic impact of COVID-19 on Iowa and what that might mean from a public policy standpoint going forward. TEF Iowa commissioned a study from Goss and Associates on the topic. Walt Rogers is deputy director of TEF Iowa. Dr. Ernie Goss is a Creighton University economist. We spoke via Zoom on August 20th. Folks may have heard us talk before, Walt, about the organization, but for those who missed it, remind us, TEF Iowa is what and does what.
TEF Iowa stands for Tax Education Foundation. Our goal is to really help every Iowan achieve the American dream. And a lot of people have a different idea of what that means, but we are here to help come up with good policy that helps Iowans. And so we were pretty interested about how COVID-19 was affecting our economy. And me being a former legislator, I know that legislators are concerned mostly about how they're going to do budgets next year. You know, I've talked to a lot of them, and a lot of them have asked me, hey, Walt, can you find out some things about what our budget's going to look like? And so our organization turned to Dr. Goss and his co-worker and partner, Scott Strain. They've done an excellent job of looking at some of the data. And so they put out a report that's helping us and helping Iowans figure this out. And mostly, you know, that can help then legislators next session and our team look at data and educate them about making good decisions for our budgets.
And Ernie, there's always something, right? I mean, we've talked at the fall of last year when you were in Waterloo about the outlook for 2020. And very quickly, that all changed because of COVID. And now you have this report, and a huge portion of Iowa is suffering because of the derecho. So, I mean, it's always fluid. And understanding that, what did this study find with regard to the economic impact of COVID-19 on Iowa's economy?
And Jeff, first I'd like to thank TEF of Iowa for supporting this, and Walt and his team for assisting in providing data and other support. But this was produced independently. They gave us free rein to do this study, and I appreciate that. But overall, of course, the coronavirus, the COVID-19, is had some fairly, of course, dramatic impacts on the state of Iowa. And our surveys also, as you say, Jeff, if it's not one thing, it's another. And we just did a survey of Iowa just this week, and a survey that includes Iowa, and got the weather, of course, the August hurricane, if you call it. I'd call it a hurricane without an eye. Mm-hmm. And that hit, of course, near you, pretty heavy near your area, Jeff, and hitting all of a lot of Iowa. So, but the coronavirus had some fairly significant impacts and continue. For example, the unemployment rate right now in Iowa, the insured unemployment rate, that's those who draw unemployment insurance as a percent of the overall labor force, has come down dramatically, but still remains very high compared to pre-corona virus levels.
When you do the analysis that you do, you're looking at data, you're mapping it against trends, you're doing comparisons. I mean, that's the shorthand of what I foresee that you do. You obviously have some idea going in. Sometimes the data then supports that initial supposition, sometimes it contradicts it. So with regard to this evidence that was marshaled, were there things that were remarkable in terms of standing out to you, either surprising you or things that really rose to the headline level?
There was, Jeff, and the overall job losses, and that's the number of individuals that lost their jobs in Iowa. And that's particularly the case in a leisure and hospitality industry, where the losses were very significant. We estimated the total direct losses plus the indirect, that'd be spillover industries, those outside of leisure and hospitality. The number was about 211,000, 212,000 jobs in the state of Iowa. And of course, that's fairly significant. We're talking about a large portion of the Iowa economy, and we're estimating about 9 to 10% of GDP for that particular period of time. We looked at it from March 21st. That's when we first saw the impacts of the coronavirus appear in Iowa. Up to the latest numbers we had were July the 4th. During that period of time, again, the job losses were about 212,000 job losses. And that, when you look at the overall impacts, and that was fairly significant, much like the numbers that came out the U.S., although somewhat less than the U.S., about 9.1% of GDP, of state GDP.
And I'm looking at a table that's in this survey. And again, you know that it's bad, but it's not until TEF Iowa supports research that someone like you, Dr. Goss, does that it just jumps out. So again, nearly a quarter million people, 211,000 people, $1.7 billion worth of wages lost over this period of time. That seems pretty substantial when you're looking at economic impact, not to make light of it.
It is substantial, Jeff. And this comes, now, this is generated from a program that we purchased, we have. In other words, just we put the numbers in, the direct numbers that we get from Department of Labor and other sources. And then the overall magnitude, the impact, it comes from M-Plan. It's a package we purchased. And it generates the total, produces, estimates the total impact, sort of like putting in the meat, sort of the meat at the top of the meat grinder and what comes out at the bottom. What we got is what comes out at the bottom from the M-Plan out of Minnesota. And what's going to be very significant, in my judgment, going to hit Iowa later on, is going to be the taxpayer. In other words, state and local tax collections, very significant. Now, there is some mitigation of that, to some degree, the CARES Act. That would be, of course, phase one of the U.S. government support for state and local governments. There is some data and some financial support there from the federal government. Now, we'll have to wait and see. But even there, we're talking about as much as state and local taxes during this period of time alone is about $352 million. Now, that's, again, quite significant. And that's going to have to appear in terms of higher property taxes, higher sales taxes, and higher income taxes to support state and local government activities.
I want to continue talking about some of those economic impacts. But Walt, when you're talking about assisting lawmakers in determining policy, your own experience as a longtime lawmaker, when you hear numbers like that, that for somebody who wants a smaller government, less taxes generally, that starts throwing things into a crisis mode where if you want to maintain a certain level of services, something's got to give, because you can't just cut your way to a balanced budget at that point, right?
Right. You're exactly right. In fact, in this process, when we were looking at our second round that Dr. Goss did for us, the legislators were going back in June to actually figure out the next year's budget. And I got calls from some of them because they knew that we were teaming up with Dr. Goss, and they were like, how are we going to decide this? How are we going to figure out how much revenue we're looking at? And so I think we actually did help them understand you got to be cautious. And that what came out of that whole thing was at least, you know, a status quo budget. They didn't grow too much, which I think was smart. And that was a direct reflective of Dr. Goss's influence and this study that said, hey, we could potentially lose. I'm looking at the other graph that says for a full year, $770 million in revenue. And we just don't know how the CARES Act and the stimulus package is going to affect that for sure. It is. Dr. Goss has said that. It's going to help. We just don't know for sure. And then with the whole derecho hurricane, again, we don't know how that's going to affect our revenue. So we recommended very strongly to be cautious to legislators next year, and don't try to increase the budget at all if you can, because we just don't know for sure what it's going to look like.
And again, they were operating in a good manner by saying, well, we won't have to cut the current fiscal year, which ended June 30th, which was good.
Right.
But, right. You know, again, we just still don't know the impact and things keep changing. I'm interested, Dr. Goss, on the, and again, this is just this period of time from when we started closing everything down around the first day of spring, going to Independence Day. $250 million of self-employment income lost in the state of Iowa. You know, and I've talked on the program before. I had various speaking appearances set. Well, we didn't have those. You do a lot of personal appearances. Those didn't happen. But for those who depend solely on this self-employment income, that is really a crippling thing. It's not the same as I work in the hospitality industry. This restaurant closed. That's a very bad thing, but I might be able to latch on to another one because of supply and demand in that particular city. This is a very different, I would suggest, under-discussed category.
Absolutely, Jeff. And you think about, well, what are we talking about? We're talking about attorneys, accountants, economists in many cases. That's self-employment income. But all, another area, let me just bring up, what about a dry cleaner? Now, we don't give much, we don't think about that much, but think about how many individuals are working from home, not dry cleaning their clothes as they were, thinking about the cut there. In my own case, my dry cleaner is not opening on Fridays. They're closing down on Fridays and they're closing down on Mondays just simply because of the lack of activity. Now, that's self-employment income for the owner of the dry cleaning establishment. There's a case where those of us who can work at home, like an academic, as I've been able during this crisis, to be able to teach my classes from home. So it's difficult in some cases for those of us who've been blessed, I would argue. For those who have not been blessed, who have really been hit hard. And I think back another issue, Jeff, is also some of these impacts will not be felt until next April the 15th when individuals file their Iowa tax return. In other words, some of the legislators have said, well, we haven't seen that downturn yet. And I would argue, yes, you haven't in some cases, because you'll see it next April 15th when individuals, instead of paying Iowa income taxes, will be getting a refund that you're not anticipating. So that we need to make sure that we look at that the long term, what happens, I should say, the longer term.
And from a public policy standpoint, Walt, as you look at it, we know what the Iowa laws are with regard to income taxes. We don't know exactly what to expect out of the federal government. You could have situations where, and this is all supposition and proposals, but you could have the payroll tax suspended. Well, what if it's not forgiven? That becomes a time bomb that then shows up in the next year. And one of the CARES Act provisions, the original CARES Act, included a special charitable contribution point for all taxpayers, regardless of whether you itemize. Well, that impacts everything. So to Dr. Goss's point, there's a domino impact, and lawmakers in Des Moines can't control everything.
Not at all. And you know, there's a personal impact that, you know, you just don't realize. Sometimes I've told Ernie, and I may have mentioned it to you last time I was on, you know, my son's an urban farmer. He grows microgreens, and he was doing a pretty good little business selling in restaurants. And then the COVID hit, and all of a sudden, you know, 3/4 of his customers are gone. So he's had to change his whole lifestyle as far as income wise because of this pandemic.
And business plan wise.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and, you know, not the only person that knows about that are his customers and our family. And so that's probably happening exponentially around the state. And Dr. Goss is right. We're not going to know some of those numbers for sure until next year tax time.
Right. And the CARES Act provides things that hit the state level tax collections that may not be anticipated. For example, the requirement that individuals over 70 and a half withdraw from their 401ks and their retirement accounts and that would be taxed at Iowa tax rates. Well, this year it's been forgiven. There is, you do not have to withdraw that. It's not required this year. So that revenue that would have been collected will now not be collected in terms of Iowa state income taxes.
Some of us like to project. You know, some of us have W-2 income, we have self-employment income, and so we try to project our income through the year, make our quarterly estimates. But you make a change in federal tax law, well, you just don't know until you file your first return how that's going to play out. Then there has to be a state response, so you don't know. Well, we're kind of in, 2020 was going to be the year where you could actually start to predict what your tax burden was going to be. Then this all happened, so everything is upside down. Again, remind the audience we're talking with Dr. Ernie Goss of Creighton University. His company, Goss and Associates, worked with TEF Iowa to produce the Economic Impact of COVID-19 on the Iowa Economy Report. Walt Rogers is Deputy Director of TEF Iowa. So, Dr. Goss, is there any sense of how Iowa is being affected compared with others in the Midwest, which is where you study on a regular basis, or the rest of the country? Are we better or worse off than some of these other places?
Better relative to the nation, not as well off as to the neighbors, particularly in terms of South Dakota and Nebraska, that didn't shut down operations as much as what we saw in Iowa. South Dakota, now we may see some impacts later on due to the fact that South Dakota, for example, the governor there was very, very forceful in not shutting down. Of course, we saw what happened with Sturgis, the motorcycle rally there. I looked, and boy, that was a big rally, and we're seeing some of the positives coming out for South Dakota and Nebraska. Missouri, about the same. Minnesota hit more heavily than Iowa, in fact. But in terms of other states nationally, Iowa comes out probably in the low 30s. In other words, being number one being the best, 30 being somewhere in obviously a little bit higher than the average in terms of comparisons. But South Dakota's number one. The state that hit most heavily is Nevada. Nevada has been hit very heavily, of course, because of its dependence on leisure and hospitality. But agriculture has been hit and continues to be hit. You know, Jeff, we started the year, remember, back that long time ago, back in January of this year, when we had passage of a USMCA. Then we had the phase one agreement with China. And everything was looking much better for agriculture. And then this. And what this did is really hit exports. Exports and agriculture depends on exports. Iowa depends on agriculture. Agriculture depends on exports. Iowa depends on agriculture. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really significant impact there, particularly in there.
Well, and to make that point even stronger, we had a deal with Japan that was starting to pay off. We had a really good planting season. We didn't have to worry about being in too late, had optimal amounts of moisture. And as you say, then all of this hit. So, Walt, as you looked at the report and you think about, okay, when the lawmakers are asking, what do we do with this data? Boil this down for us. If you were still sitting there under the dome in Des Moines, what would your counsel be to colleagues?
Well, number one, don't raise any budgets right now. I would, minimum, keep a status quo budget. I would look at, in the future, should we, kind of base our revenue more on a sales tax economy versus an income based? And one of the things that we do at TEF Iowa is, promote the best kind of tax base economy. And Dr. Goss mentioned South Dakota, for instance. They're doing quite well. They have more of a sales tax based economy. And so we believe a sales tax based revenue economy is better. And that's one question I would like to ask Dr. Goss. Are you seeing any indication that states have who are based more on a sales tax versus income tax? Is that better or worse for what they're seeing right now?
Well, In terms of that, Walt, the problem we're talking about in the sales tax right now is the sales tax applied in the leisure and hospitality is typically higher. In other words, an add-on there, rental cars. We all know when you go get a rental car in Des Moines, you're going to pay a heavy sales tax there. It's much heavier than the state and local sales tax normally. So that it's been hit harder there, the sales tax. But I think you're right, Walt, in terms of my judgment, an economy based upon sales taxes, it tends to be a little more competitive than one based on income taxes. But in this case, it has been hit on the sales tax pretty heavily. We're seeing play out nationally, and it's really, but one of the things, when you do move to a sales tax, several states, including Nebraska, have too many carve-outs. In other words, everybody gets their own little special exemption. Universities, we're a big, big carve-out. In other words, going to the campus of Iowa State, Nebraska, Creighton University, you get a meal for no sales taxes. Walk across the street and you're paying anywhere from 7 to 9% higher sales taxes. So we need to cut some of these exemptions out in terms of sales taxes if we're going to move toward a focus on sales tax or reliance on sales taxes, in my judgment. And that also goes for income taxes. There are also a lot of carve-outs for income taxes, but not nearly as many as they are for property taxes and sales.
Those dang politicians creating carve-outs, I tell you.
Right.
Along with the public interest groups that just happened to be there. What have we not covered? Ernie, I'll ask you first, then Walt. What have we not covered about this that you think is important for folks to understand?
Well, I think it's important to look at the importance of the virus itself and the need for a vaccine. In other words, these impacts we're seeing now, Europe is flaring up again. We've been hearing, Europe did it right. They had this downward slope. Well, now it's flaring up again in Europe. And who's to say we don't see flare-up, or we probably will see flare-ups, as we've just seen in the virus in Arizona, Georgia, Florida, other hot spots. So that's the real concern, is this, we're not through this, anywhere close to being through it just yet. And all this will depend on a vaccine and some sort of cure. Or some sort of cure, if we talked about some prophylactic cure for the virus or a vaccine, we need both of those certainly to move and reduce the impacts overall.
Walt?
I'm going to say, since I'm a politician and Ernie doesn't get into politics, which is good, I'd look at it a little bit more from that perspective. And I would say that, in fact, I saw a study or analysis by John Vallant from a Brown Center of Education Policy. He recently did a look at school openings around the country, and he found that school opening decisions are being made more on the basis of politics than COVID data. So that's a little scary in the sense of what's actually happening. Just, you know, an economist has to look at the analysis of data, and the analysis of political data affects this thing. And so, you know, what I'm saying is it may run its course politically before we get a really good, viable vaccine. I don't know, which means, you know, November 4th, it could be over. So we'll see.
Well, you know, and I think Walt makes a great point there that the politics are driving a heck of a lot of this. Whether you open the economy up or close the economy down, there tends to be more on the Democrat side of closing it down, Republican side more opening it up. I just flew into Boston from Nashville, and I promise you nothing was on my ticket saying anything about the virus. I fly in 10 minutes before landing in Boston. I'm told that either I have a negative on the COVID-19 test in the last 72 hours, or I will be quarantined for 10 days in Boston. And I asked the attendant, I asked the flight attendant, well, what should I do? And she didn't know. I talked to the pilot as I exited the plane. He didn't know. I talked to the security in the Logan Boston airport. They didn't know. No one knows. In other words, we're seeing such a patchwork of responses, political responses to the virus, that who can, the idea of what the economic impacts will be will depend a lot on the politics of it. Whether you come at closing down a school, my university, I taught yesterday in class. I'm teaching a law class in law school. We have 22 students. All of us are wearing masks, all of us, and we have two individuals online at the same time. So we're moving ahead. Notre Dame closed down. I reject that decision, in my view. I think it's too much based on, I don't know if Notre Dame closed because of politics, but I would say politics might have had something to do with that close down. I don't know.
I would guess that it probably does.
Dr. Ernie Goss, economist at Creighton University and principal at Goss and Associates. Walt Rogers is a former state lawmaker, now deputy director of TEF Iowa. Read the report by going to their website, tefiowa.org. The Iowa Association of Business and Industry is a supporter of the Iowa Business Report, radio program, and podcast. The Iowa Business Report airs weekly on dozens of radio stations across the state of Iowa, with the podcast posted right here every week, along with additional IBR extras and IBR business profiles. I'm Jeff Stein for the Iowa Business Report.